text is from Isaiah, the 35th chapter. Strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way, say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. This is the text, my dear brother and sister. Just for starters, the problem with anxiety, with fear, is that it can lead to all kinds of storms in life, of pain and suffering. It can cause depression, and if you ever suffer depression, like I have experienced for a period of 6 months in my life, during my years of preparation for the ministry, in which there was one single idea, life is not worth living, that was in my head, I struggled with that every single day. And you know, it is not fun. It is serious. It is terrifying. It is demoralizing. You feel like no one. One day I was standing at a window and my brother came in and said, "Kid, what you doing?" And he said, "Contemplating what? My death. Why? I would just end up this suffering and pain." He said, "Would you end the suffering and pain, or would you start bigger suffering and pain?" 2 hours later, we were eating steak and drinking beer, and I left my anxiety behind. The wisdom of God through the mouth of an older brother. And I wish every one of you that has ever gone through such a period in life, an older brother or an older sister or a younger friend or somebody, that would remind you that life is precious, so precious that Jesus gave his so that you could enjoy yours, so that you wouldn't have to wrestle with sin and guilt and all of that. Strengthen the feeble hands. Steady the knees that give way, and say to those with fearful hearts, anxiety in the original, be strong, do not fear, your God will come. This is Isaiah, 760 years before Jesus was born. He prophesies pointing to Christmas. Christmas is a technical language for the time of Christ, the time of Christ. You could argue technically, correctly, that heaven, life in heaven, is an eternal Christmas. It's Christmas because there you will have Christ in your fullest. Christmas is a time in which my phone picks up in its number of rings people that just need to talk. Because it's a time of happiness and family. And people that are lonely in life sometimes feel shunned by the rest of society because everybody seems to be having a good time except poor little me. That's very logic and it's explainable. And that's the way it is. However, from a human point of view, from God's point of view, no one is ever alone. We all belong to the Una Sancta that permeates all places and all times from the very beginning. You are never alone. You may go to your room, close the door, and pray by yourself. And yet, the whole Una Sancta is praying with you. You are in good company. People that strengthen you and give you purpose. Christ came 760 years later, and he did all of that. Fulfilling Isaiah's words, Christ healed many. As we see in today's gospel, John had doubts. Why did John have doubts that this was the Christ of whom he was the forerunner? Oh, when you are put in prison and the sword is placed at your neck, all kinds of dumb thoughts come up here. All kinds of doubts pop up. When you are under pressure, So you need to be reminded of Christ. Go back and tell John what you see and hear. The lame walk, the blind see, the deaf hear. And the good news is being preached to the poor. You see, the Pharisees had their noses way up in the air, and they claimed exclusivity of the Word of God. They were God's favorite people, the apple of God's eyes. And the poor, well, who cares about them? That was their attitude. Jesus came to preach to the poor, who were the first people beside Joseph and Mary that those little eyes saw, the baby in the manger. Look at the shepherds, the poor, the destitute, the kind of rejects in the ladder of corporate success. You didn't need an education, you just had to have an instinct on how to care for the sheep. Jesus' first look was to them. And he came and did exactly what Isaiah prophesied. And the functions of the miracle, the function of the miracles of Christ was just to point out to his divinity. One day he was preaching in a home, really crowded, and people just could not get enough of him. And there was a poor man that was middle-aged, you know, like me, 66. He was lame. He had never walked a step in his life. But he got lucky. He had four engineers as his best friends. Tile off the roof and make a hole right over the spot where Jesus was talking. And they lowered him there. So what does Jesus say? Oh, you are lame. Oh, poor poopsie, I am going to cure you. No, Jesus says, son, your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees immediately started to laugh at that. Anybody can say your sins are forgiven, but only God can forgive sins. And then Jesus said, I know what you're saying. You say that I am not God. I am God. So that you believe now, so pick up your mat and go home. And he did. The miracles were only signs to his divinity. And many people today, skeptics, say, oh, Jesus is not doing signs or miracles. How come? Well, he does more miracles than you and I will ever notice. There are miracles in the world every single day. But miracle is not the point. We don't need miracles. We have the Word. The Word heals the soul. The miracles heal the body. People who have their bodies healed are not necessarily saved, are they? No. But people who have their soul healed are saved. Big difference. Here and now, then and there, and forever. God's forever life in heaven. We don't need miracles. Miracles don't save, but the Word does. Because the Word reassures us of the forgiveness of sins, of eternal life and salvation. And you and I have already taken hold of those gifts of Christ in such abundance, in such incredible amounts and quantities that are far more than we can use. For that reason, we ought to share ourselves and our wisdom, our knowledge of God, with the people of the world. Yesterday, it brought tears to my eyes, hearing, and I am a tough guy, hearing Rachel Meyer coming from Bufula, Uganda. She rides on motorcycles from town to town and establishes some Sunday schools so that the children of her Lutheran school that go back to their villages can share what they have learned about this Jesus. And for the first time since Rachel Meyer got there, and she looked back at the Missouri Synod and said, "Time out, these children have no Bibles. Can we have some Bibles?" Thousands of Bibles showered over Pupula to the Lutheran school, and she distributes them for the whole region where she serves in Uganda. And they are reading the Bible. During their breaks, instead of playing soccer out there, they are there reading the stories of the Bible. Proof that God's word will never be preached in vain. Our work in the Lord is never in vain. It seems like that at times. And we have this anxiety eraser, if you want to call it that way, to take away the anxiety of the world so that people can inflate their lungs and breathe deep and raise their heads and live in happiness, with courage and boldness. God bless you all.